Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers address every question except, did the world need another podcast? I am one half of this show, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and late in life aspiring tea drinker, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, the whimsical Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello everybody, I'm Soren Bowie, and long before I wrote for television, I appeared on one. In a kids' roundtable show that faced issues that modern teens would have to deal with, like peer pressure and harmful labels, and should kids be allowed to carry beepers at school.
Is this information that I'm learning about you for the first time?
Yes.
Wow. And where did your program come down on that beeper issue?
It depends. So there was no final answer. It was just, you know, the kids all got to talk about it, and I came down on against, because I was kind of a square.
Sure.
I thought it was disruptive in the classroom. I knew some kids who had done it. And I threw them under the bus immediately and said that I don't agree with it.
Well, I think it sounds like that work. I haven't seen a beeper in schools in years. So it seems like you did some really great work there. You were on the right side of history.
I don't know that I was solely responsible, but I have to take some credit, I think. You know, when I got to the shoot, too, they asked me to change clothes immediately. They had some other wardrobe, and they're like, what you're wearing doesn't exactly signify athlete, which is a demographic they're kind of hoping you bring to the table. And so, then we went on and talked about labels.
How much do you remember? Do you remember what you were wearing and what they put you in?
Yeah, I was wearing cargo pants at the time, some tan cargo pants and just a black t-shirt and some skate shoes. And they were like, this won't do. And so they gave me it wasn't exactly a Letterman jacket, but it was one of the ones that has a collar that sits low and is like a fabric.
Okay.
And a snap buttons on the front.
Oh, that does immediately scan as more athlete.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's sort of like Letterman-esque.
That is
more like a members only.
It's a pretty crucial demographic.
Thank you, Audible, for supporting Quick Question. Now Audible is giving members even more with the Plus catalog. Visit audible.com/QQ or text QQ to 500-500 to start your free 30-day trial. Thanks to Feels for supporting Quick Question. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/QQ, and you'll get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping.
But let's stop talking about that and get into our show, because we have a guest, and I'm very excited to welcome her to the show. She is a writer, an actress, a host, an author, and the first Disney princess to guest on this show, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dani Fernandez. Dani, hello.
Hi. I have my framed Ralph thing behind me, too, from Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
It was like official art that they gave out at New York Comic Con when I like hosted their panel. So
that's very
exciting. Survived the trek through Javits Center and my luggage. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing our show. I think this is the first time you've met Soren. We met you and I. You were, I believe, hosting a stand-up show in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was so long. I don't even do stand-up anymore.
I don't either. And you are the reason. No, it's... I do remember. It was like one of the first times I'd ventured out of my very safe... We were doing L.A. at the West Side Comedy Club. Comedy at the West Side Comedy. L.A., Jesus Christ. Put those words together however you want. Doing comedy from mostly like a cracked audience... with mostly other cracked writers, like uncomfortable stage people. And I'd done it enough times that I was feeling good about it. And then I went to a different, unfamiliar place and felt terrible about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought our crowd was really good. I thought our San Diego crowd was like really happy to be there.
Which is why you should feel even worse about it. For some reason,
well, I have to say, being a host, I have to say, hosting is like the most thankless job when you're hosting a comedy show, because you have to like intertwine all of the, you don't really get to get all of your set and your jokes in. You're just there to prop up the next person. And like, if the person before had like a decent or bad set, like you have to like go from that and pick the show back up. And like, it's the most, I don't know why people would, I mean, you get paid, but like, I don't know why people would want to host a comedy show. It's like the worst.
It is
as opposed to like
you
doing
can't
a type five. Yeah.
You can't kill as a host.
It's like, a lot of crowd work. If you enjoy crowd work and stuff, but I just remember that, but I just, you're like, I have too many jobs. I can't do all of the things. and people are like, what is the key to your success? I'm like, just pick like two things you want to do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our friends have like 20 things they're trying to do. And so you end up just treading water. And if you pick like just two and you're like, I'm going to be really good at those two things or that one thing, it's much quicker, in my opinion, to like move up than trying to do 20 things.
What do you feel like your two things are? Cause
writing and acting.
Okay.
Are the two that I want. I mean, I guess I host more right now cause it's just easier. Like hosting for different, you know, I've hosted for Disney and E and, Nerdist mm-hmm. and stuff. And that's pretty, if you have a comedy background, it's pretty easy to do. Cause once you've done stand up, you know how to be live on air, you know how to talk to guests, you know how to segue, you know, you transition, you know, like, so, but writing and acting are the two I was like, I can't do stand up. I don't know how people do stand up. And then, who also used to be at John Oliver, Josh Gundelman, he'll do stand up for like three nights, like he'll go and do stand up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This was back before COVID. Mm-hmm. Go to his writer's room first thing in the morning and then have to write all day and then go and do, like, I just can't do that. I think you're just burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah, he's a special case. And I was really glad to work with him and also like very humbled being around him because he's a joke machine at work. And then you turn around and he's gotten changed into like the clothes he's going to wear for, he's got like, two or three stand-up shows that he's going to do. He's going to leave the office and continue doing a thing. And I was like, oh boy, I'm going to leave the office and just like sit in the dark until it's morning again.
As you should. Your brain needs to turn off.
Yeah.
As you should. Also, Josh, like, you know, notoriously does a ton of cocaine.
I was going to say, cocaine.
Okay. Yeah.
Something that's is how he's fueling doing it. Him. Yeah.
We know I'm what kidding. The something he, is.
Josh has like never to touched coke. Yes. So anyways, yeah. I just have two things.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into our show where we ask each other questions and give each other answers. We usually start off with a quick, like, just very superficial COVID check-in with our guests. We like to ask if there's any habits that you picked up in COVID that you hope you will continue going forward.
Oh, my gosh. I am so proud of myself for flossing.
Ooh.
I'm so proud of myself, y'all. That's like a big, huge thing.
That is huge.
Like, I don't know if people actually do it or they lie that they do it or whatever, but, you know, I'm finally at the state where I actually put it, I'm competitive and I have OCD. And so I actually have like a list of things that I have to do every day. And I'm so competitive that flossing is the last thing and I like check it off.
Yeah.
So I know that's not pandemic necessarily related, although I will say I have more time to floss now.
Yeah.
But I'm just, it's such like a, I remember Sarah Silverman once tweeted and said something like, please floss because it like affects, like it causes aging, like, you know, or gum recession or I don't know. Yeah. She, not like causes aging, your face change like so much. I mean like she, like of your teeth.
Right.
Like it, like it'll age your smile a lot. Yeah, where
I have the teeth of a 60-year-old man from
exactly.
Flossing. They're all going bald. It's terrible. I know we just met and this is pretty intimate, but walk me through it. Are you using an actual the type that you mm-hmm. pull out a certain like 6 feet of, then you take it off? Or are you doing like that?
The wand.
Where you just have like one toothpick that has a floss, like fiddle string on it.
I have wanted to do this for a while. I actually bought a water pick because I saw it on Queer Eye and I never used it. So I just bought this like expensive water pick and then I don't know, it's like in a closet. But no, I'm using the string. Like my dentist, every time I go in, they're like, let me show you how to floss. Cause clearly you don't know. And that's why you're choosing not to do. And so every time it's like, no, I know how you're supposed to go down on this side, I know how to do it. But yeah, I'm using like one long string. I don't know. I would like. I'm curious to see the next time I go in if it's made a big difference. If it hasn't, I'm gonna drop it. I'm serious.
What if you go and you've got six cavities? All of a sudden?
This proves what a simple machine I am. Just completely fueled by positive affirmation. Is that when I first moved to LA, like I was really bad about going to the dentist, and I just didn't go to the dentist for years. and then went. And if you go after not having gone for years, like even if you brush your teeth regularly, there's still just like basic stuff that like you need to go to the dentist every right. 6 months. And they noticed several, like, you're a person who doesn't go to the dentist, you don't floss, this is bad. And like the dental assistant was like, I'm gonna teach you how to floss, you're not gonna do it. Like, he said that to me. He's like, you're not gonna keep it up, because he didn't believe in me. And then I came back 6 months later for my follow-up appointment, and that same dental assistant was like, good job, you really stuck with it. And it like fucking fueled me for the rest of my life. Just like, I need just someone to tell me good job every once in a while, and I can keep going. Because if he hadn't noticed, or if there was a or if he just said nothing complimentary, just like, you did the thing that a human being is supposed to do. You're an adult. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve praise for this. I'm not going to congratulate you. I'm not going to congratulate you for drinking water or breathing either. If he had said that, then I'm like, well, fuck drinking water too then. I'm not doing any of this. Yeah. I'm not going to floss if there's not like a good boy in it for me. But the fact that he was like proud of me, through the roof.
So I guess I have to research some more into flossing, because my secondhand information is that the Glide stuff, that there's something on there that's similar to Teflon that isn't particularly good for you. So instead, the kind that we use is that thick old school stuff that's like, it's got like a real wax resin on it, and it's got the caliber of like an A string on a guitar, and you really have to like cram it down in between your teeth, and it's just not fun. Yeah. It's just torture. I want to just be able to go back to like Glide. I did.
That's how the Amish, that's how they floss.
Is it really?
So, no.
Well, I was very excited.
I'm sure you share other things with them. So, no, but I'm really proud of myself for doing that. And I just feel like there's no excuse not to. And like, I'm an adult. You always think like, when I'm an adult, I'll do it. And then you're an adult. Yeah. And then I was like, well, but when I'm older, I'll do it. And then you're older and it's like, oh crap. Okay. Well, this is the time. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Well, I'm proud of you too.
Thank
congratulations.
You. Thanks.
Yeah, you get a good boy out of this. Yeah.
I should put up a little, you know, when you were a kid and you could put your little gold star and like whenever you did, like I should have that, a weekly little thing for myself.
The other day I was realizing that I don't read much anymore. I read to my son, but I don't have a lot of time of my own that I dedicate to reading. And I used to be such an avid reader. I'd have like 3 books at a time and I just consumed. I loved it. And I don't do that as much anymore. And I think that I could find that again if I just used Audible. Audible has tons of content to entertain, to inspire and inform. It's easy to find just the right listen, whether it's comedy, romance, noir, true crime, or science fiction, obviously. The best of all the genres, I think we can all agree, maybe, other than like that Malcolm Gladwell kind of stuff, which I think is probably more of a, oh, also maybe some other nonfiction that probably you've learned something from. Textbooks, I guess, have their place as well. Well, there's a listen for every moment and every mood and so much to discover. With everything all in one place, Audible can truly become your playlist for life. And now Audible is giving members even more with the Plus catalog. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, languages, business, motivation, original entertainment from top celebrity creators, and thousands of popular and binge-worthy podcasts as well. I happen to know that you like podcasts. All members have access to the growing Plus catalog with thousands of select originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, all included with membership. You can start exploring Audible now with a free 30-day trial at audible.com/QQ or text QQ to 500-500. Audible Plus members have full access to the Plus catalog, and you can listen to all you want. There are thousands of included titles across different formats and genres, including unique Audible originals like Words Plus Music series. Don't know what that is? Go check it out. It's worth it. You can download or stream without limit, and you can listen offline anytime, anywhere, which is very helpful because I don't know if any of you have ever driven across the desert. Not a lot of reception out there. The cell phone towers, they didn't think to build those out there in that desert. So when you're driving out on a long road trip, you want something you can still use even when you don't have your wireless service. To use your Audible membership, you'll need to download the free Audible app to any smartphone or tablet, and you can even listen across devices like your Alexa or anything that's Alexa enabled or whatever you're using in place of Alexa. Listen, you're going to love Audible. I've used Audible recently to listen to Dracula, which was so fun. It's a, I thought, oh, I'll have to be in the mood for that. That's the kind of book you'd want to read. You climb up into an attic somewhere of a school and read. But no, listening to it just in my car, listening to it while I do the dishes was so enjoyable. Bram Stoker's Dracula is a kind of book that could just be read aloud to you, and it's such a treat. I highly recommend it. You are going to love Audible. Visit audible.com/QQ or text QQ to 500-500 to start your free 30-day trial.
Speaking of COVID and things Soren has in common with the Amish, Soren, it's been a while since we've checked in on your garden. How is your garden?
Flourishing.
Really?
I've got a bunch of like winter stuff in there right now, root stuff. Mm. And I didn't kill everything. Like, so I think you're supposed to take the tomato plants out in the winter, and I left it in, and it's just going, it's going ham out there. I can see it right now, and it's taking over the entire garden. And I don't think it's ever going to die. This is the one that like I saved from my crawl space. It was a volunteer in the crawl space, and I put it in a garden and lovingly took care of it. And now it's as big as me. But yeah, everything else is doing very well. I think the problem was before. Here's the deal, Danny. I had a garden. I was doing very well until everything died. And then I thought, fuck gardening.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a green thumb. You have a blue thumb. You have a blue thumb.
So it turns out it might just be seasonal, and that there's different nutrients that are in the soil that all those plants use up. And then if those aren't replaced or you're not doing anything to take care of it, then those plants will never grow there again. So I figured some of it out, and there's like you do interchanging vegetation. So you take some stuff up and put in new stuff, and like it eats different stuff from the soil. It's worked out really well for me. I think I'm back.
I'm proud of you.
All right. I love that.
It could have taken you down and you didn't let it.
I didn't. I watched a lot of YouTube videos and now I'm good.
Excellent.
That's me with my makeup. And just like, especially in COVID, that was another thing I guess I had to get better at, because they don't give us a lot of makeup artists for our stuff anymore. And so people were starting to see that on the news, like the first couple of weeks of COVID, people were like, whoa, I guess she's doing her own hair now. And
it's like that moment in the first Batman movie where the makeup is what everyone's afraid of because the Joker has gotten into it.
And oh, yeah.
Causing people to do the grins. And so everyone in the news just looks haggard and bedraggled because they can't wear makeup anymore.
And I remember people were getting called out. Again, this was like the first month when everyone, like when it was all haywire. Not that it's not. But people were getting called out for like, you could tell that they got their hair like highlighted and done. And they were like, people are dying. And we just got in lockdown and you're getting highlights. So like a lot of news people, you saw them for the first time without, like, they were trying to do baby powder their own faces, and it was just like a mess, a nightmare. So I've watched a lot of YouTube makeup videos. I would say I am decent.
Hell yeah for decency. Love decency. I haven't gotten better at anything. My COVID corner update this week was going to be the thing that I alluded to at the top of the show, which is that I'm trying to get into tea.
Yeah, how's that going?
I think it's a bunch of bullshit, frankly. I think we've all been sold a false bill of goods. I know, Soren, you like tea, and I know plenty of people who love tea, and I look at descriptions of tea, and it's extremely my shit. If you walk into a tea place and they have a bunch of different teas, and like this one has ginger, and this one is calming, and this one has these peppers in it, I'm your best shot at that. At that being thrilling information. I'm who you want in your audience for that, because I want to believe that that's what I'm going to get, and it just tastes like hot water with some fucking garbage in it. It never tastes like it says it's going to taste. It always just tastes like tea.
I don't think you can fall in love with the romance of like the language of it. It's like buying a jacket from one of those places that exclusively sells to high-end people, where it's like the jacket is an adventure in itself. Like you can't... That's not what you're going to get out of it.
I guess you and Ted Lasso also hates tea. Does canonically.
He does? I thought the whole point of that show was, I thought he was like, it was like a very positive, happy show. Is that the one
except tea, he calls it brown water. He like can't, he famously like throughout the whole thing, like he can't have it. And he keeps asking people if it's a joke that like, they're all in on this joke of like liking tea. It is a positive show, but he has some things he doesn't like negativity and tea.
Okay. So. That might be the thing that gets me to watch Ted Lasso. It's become so highly recommended to me by everyone I know and whose opinions I trust and respect. And I have no reason not to watch it, except I'm just like weird and stubborn sometimes. But I like the idea that he's a super positive person who hates tea and he's forced by circumstances to live in England.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm on board with this as a comedy premise.
Could you have a little bit of half and half, Dan, or would that fuck you up?
Yeah, it would fuck me up.
Okay. So part of like what I like about tea is there's some real ritual to it in like how you put it together, and that I add a little bit of honey and a little bit of half and half.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it just like elevates the entire thing. Makes it very, very good.
I understand the ritual. I went to like an actual tea place in this town where I'm staying. Everyone was, that was me and the person who, and the proprietor, and we both wore masks. And I was like, I will take this special tea to go, please and thank you. And I gave money, and then we just stood and stared at each other for a while, and she was asking me about my day and what I was doing in town, and I answered politely and appropriately, and then sort of passive-aggressively was like, so is the tea at the end of the thing? Like, do I walk down there to get the tea? Because I thought maybe she'd forgotten to get the tea, and she was like, oh no, it needs to steep for 7 minutes. And she took that part of the ritual very seriously and mm-hmm. didn't want me to have the bag. So we just sat there looking at each other for 7 minutes while the tea steeped.
That's a long time.
That's what, and I Googled it afterward. That's the right amount of time.
Really? I feel like you scalded.
It depends. It depends leaves. On what tea. Yeah.
Ooh.
Sometimes it's like 3 or 4 minutes. It'll say it on the tea bag. So there you go.
I love tea.
I want to get there. Because I'm enamored by that kind of shit. And if there is ritual to it, I'm going to love that too. I'm not sold on the whole, the big tea lie that I think has been so successful for a lot of people. I'm just not there. I really feel like it's a bag full of garbage that got put in some hot water and no one's telling the emperor that he's naked.
Well, if that makes you feel any better, I feel the exact same way about coffee. I think any acquired taste is exactly that way.
Yeah, that's true. Coffee is harsher than
coffee
tea.
Rules.
Coffee is an acquired taste. Like coffee and Keystone Light, and like those are acquired tastes.
Yeah, you gotta learn
people
to love them.
Really like them, and they're pretty cheap, but they're definitely acquired. Yeah.
Well, Danny, I have another quick question for you. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. This is one that we've answered on the show before. It's about advice, and I'm curious about you specifically because you are, among other things, known for giving really great, very positive, very no bullshit, thoughtful advice on Twitter. You're really active, like giving people the kind of straightforward, uplifting advice that anyone could do well to heed. And I'm very curious, what is advice that you give that you don't personally take?
Oh my gosh, probably celebrating small wins along the way.
I was really gonna hope you say flossing.
Flossing.
I don't.
I always tell people you need to celebrate the wins along the way. And like I said, again, competitive, OCD, perfectionism, like it's very difficult. I also have really big goals and I move the goalposts constantly for myself, as I feel a lot of creatives do. And so I do want people to celebrate all of their wins. I just don't do that very often because we're in such a harsh industry that it's like, cool, you did this thing. Like, who cares? Like, mm-hmm. What did you do now? You know, what did you do today?
Right.
What did you sell today? What did you star in today?
Yeah.
So it's just like very difficult, but I do think it's important. And all of the things that I tweet are things that I need to hear.
Okay.
So those are all things from like years of therapy and things that I've written down in my journal. And every time I tweet, which by the way, thank you. I think sometimes people, it's overwhelming the amount of people who write me that it helps them. But every once in a while, someone will be like, what do you know? Or must be nice, must be easy. And I'm like, I've literally done like so much trauma treatment and hours and hours and hours and so much money that I've dedicated to trying to heal myself and be in therapy. And so, but yes, all of the things that I tweet, although I'm glad that they help people, are normally for myself. Little reminders. So, yeah.
It's still great that you do it. I mean, you're one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, A, because of like the overwhelming positivity and the great advice that you give, and B, because every once in a while I will see on the timeline a tweet of yours that's a follow-up to another tweet, and I miss the first tweet. And it's always like a fun mystery to put together because it'll be a tweet like, listen, when I said I wanted to fuck young Simba, I'm like, great.
Oh, I gotta find that.
I'll be like, believe in yourself. But also Vegeta could hit it. Right. I mean, have you seen him? Like, that is, it is funny because I get like a majority of the mental health community follows me. Then a ton of the anime community follows me. A lot of Latinos follow me from trying to work and increasing our representation in television. And it's like, so I have like such a weird Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of Disney people follow me from work that I've done with Disney. But here's the thing about them. Is they're also freaks. They are.
All right.
And like they're adults too. Mm-hmm. So like they're not like more, I was gonna say Mormons, not trying to offend any Mormons, but they're not, you know, like they're also adults. And yeah. I definitely know because there's a lot. Also, I've seen Mrs. Incredible, so don't even start with me. I know a bunch of animators worked on that, so don't even try with me. She's got a booty and I know someone had to animate it. So
yeah.
They're also freaks.
There was someone high up in Disney who was like, do we really need it to be that big? Shut up. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's locked. Up. We're doing it.
Stop asking that.
One of my friends, it's okay because he's not there anymore. One of my friends that was at Pixar said, when I questioned him about that, like, you know, how everyone always jokes that Pixar moms have like dump truck asses or whatever, like just huge fat asses. And he said, someone up top likes a little something extra on the bottom. That's what he Ooh. Said. So I'm not going to say who that was, but I'm pretty sure
yeah.
you can guess.
We can fill in some blanks there. Talk about spilling tea. I don't love that I did that, everybody.
Hey, you. Do you experience stress or anxiety or a nagging pain, or do you have trouble sleeping and you just thought, well, this is just the way the world is for me now. I think everybody must have this. You're absolutely right. Everybody has this, but it's not the way that it has to be. You're certainly not alone, but Feels wants to help you. Feels is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. What you do is you just take a few drops, you put it under your tongue, and you'll notice the difference in minutes. But you got to leave a little bit of room for experimentation because you don't know how much you're going to need specifically for whatever ails you. You might want to try a little more, a little less over the course of a week to help you kind of hone in what's going to make you feel the best. Are you new to CBD and you're a little nervous about it and you thought, no, I missed the boat on this thing. I know it's popular now, but I don't understand it. That's no problem. Feels offers a free CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. It works naturally to help you feel better, and there's no hangover and addiction. Forget that. It's out the window. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. You just got to join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Feels can have you feeling your best every day. Become a member today by going to feels.com/QQ and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/QQ to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/QQ.
Soren, has your advice that you don't take, has that been updated at all? Are you still...
Yeah, it has a little bit. I'm realizing that just in hearing Danny talk about being a perfectionist and everything, that I always sort of like hate people who think that spending time, a lot of time on something is the same thing as doing a good job. Mm. And I end up falling into that a lot where like I will finish a script or something like that and I will be like, God, like I worked forever on this. And I'll feel very proud about how long I spent on it. And then if anybody has any criticism of it, I'm immediately taken aback because my first instinct is like, but you don't understand. I was up like, my children were in the house and I had to like go type this in the garage and I was working on it all night. And just separating those two things and realizing that those two things are not equal. That
yeah.
doing a good job on something is not by any means the same thing as spending a bunch of time on it.
Yeah, I'll have that same impulse still, that I'll see a joke that I spent a lot of time on get cut from a script or not even picked to make it in the script in the first place. And I want to be like, well, they only did that because they don't know how long it took. let me call them. I'm going to call them and tell them. Like, listen, guys, that was the thing I spent my time on. The other stuff.
Sure, if they could see the work. Yeah. I'll show you the other iterations of it. This is the best of all of those.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree.
I have another quick question for...
Okay.
I guess it's for anyone, but really it's for Danny. This is based on a tweet of yours that I saw. This is, again, in like your in the subgenre of Danny positivity. I want to take pictures of my friends. I feel with a little teaching about traps, I could help everyone reach their hottest potential.
That's such a good friend.
It is, and it's like, and for the people listening who might not know what is meant by trap, shout out to my parents. That's a thirst Aww. Trap. Like you post a picture of yourself that is you looking hot because you want to make so people so horny that they're trapped by your hotness. Is that?
Essentially, you want to, like, I guess, trap in quotes, get them to, like, reply to you or, like, say if you have a crush and so you want to, like, oh, I know if I post this picture, it'll trap them. It'll get them to reply or get them to slide into my DMs or something. And so it's typically what those are supposed to accomplish.
Yeah. And it's something that, like plenty of people post thirst traps and we love it. It's great. As someone who doesn't post thirst traps, I do feel like it's a world that I'm not part of. And I just like look at people like because there's such a confidence to it and also just like well staged. But that makes me think that what you're tweeting about, Danny, is a real service that should exist. Like you're a benevolent thirst expert who could just like with a little help tweak all of your friends and help them be hotter on the internet, I guess, is where...
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like a lot of times I'll see people take... Like, people are like, oh, I'm not good, or like, they're like, I wish I could do it like you. And I'm like, well, it's not that hard. Like, a lot of my... I feel like so many of my friends are attractive, and it just takes, like showing off the right angles. Everyone has their right angles, and everyone has angles. We know, we've all opened the iPhone the wrong way and been like, whoa, I do not feel good about myself right now. Yeah. Everyone has really bad angles, including me. And so, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. My dog is being, I don't know if you can hear her. She's being so aggressive. She came, you can hear, I can hear at least her like click clack of her nails as she came over. And then I kid you not, y'all, she went over to her food bowl and she moved it. Like wow. She like hit it with her paw of like, hi, I just want you to know I'm here and I am hungry. But oh, I literally just fed her not that long ago. She just takes after her mom. Sure. She wants to eat all the time. So anyways, I do feel like a lot of times, like, I don't know. It does take a skill because a lot of times people can just be awkward. Like their hands, they don't know what to do with their hands. They don't know what to do with their face. And I'm like, oh, if I could just teach you, like you would look so hot. Mm-hmm. Trust me. So yeah. So I do still want to do that with my friends.
Yeah. I think it's one of those small services that is like, it's not enough to be a like full career for anyone, but it's like a micro service that I feel like should exist and a lot of people would pay for and could benefit from. Like I certainly see there's your advice and there's also, I don't know if you guys follow Yasser Lester. He's a writer, comedian, actor. And he every once in a while will tweet at men specifically and like, send me a picture of yourself and I will tell you if you're handsome. And it's like, it's not a bit, and he's not there to roast people. He's just very like I will never have the bravery to do it because he'll tell you honestly, and he'll just be like, "This angle is bad for you. First of all, I don't like beards. You know I don't like beards, so get rid of the beard, and you should smile. And like, you don't need a hat. Don't put a hat on. You're not handsome." Like that. Like 9 times out of 10, he will end his very honest and like cutting critique with "not handsome." Because his starting point is most guys aren't handsome and don't, or rather, most guys don't know how to take pictures of themselves.
Yes, that's it. I think it's not that they're not handsome, is that they do not know how to take photos as shown by like their Instagram, their Tinder profiles. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like you do not look like you look so much better than this. But y'all are also not trained the same way, the way that we are. That's why I feel like whenever I have a boyfriend, I have to like train him to take photos, and they're just like, they take the worst. Like, they make me feel bad. I'm like, why would you take this of me? This is, did you want me to cry? Why would you do this? So you have to like train them how to take good photos. And then, oh my gosh, if you date someone who dated somebody who taught them how to take photos, that's just, oh man. God bless that woman, because you get to reap the benefits of that. Yeah. So anyways, I actually disagree with him. I think beards are amazing. And I think most of my guy friends that have beards clean up pretty well, like do well with the ladies because of their beards. So I'm sorry, Soren.
It's okay. Yeah. It wasn't in the cards for me.
I know you're right.
It would be a real tragedy, though, for you to be in a relationship and suddenly the person that you've been dating is starting to show signs of getting much better at taking their photos and someone else has been teaching them. That's like a what a betrayal that would be.
Their side chick is too. Honestly, I'd be like, okay, well, who? But also, thank you, Mr.
But all of this was a springboard to the larger quick question of small services that similarly can't be a full career for someone but should exist and a lot of people would benefit from. Soren, do you have anything that fits that description?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have actually a couple. One of them is I think that there should be a masterclass on how to interact with a celebrity, because I see it happening on Twitter a lot, and it's like people shooting their shot and it's just like it's so ham-fisted and misdirected and misguided that I just want to like reach out to them and be like, no, look here, this is a better way to do it. Like they get immediately that gushing praise is not necessarily the right approach, but then they think that the antithesis to that is the right answer. Mm-hmm. They will try and like bust your chops a little bit. They'll jump into like Patton Oswalt's mentions and like try and like shit on him a little bit. And like, that's not the right way to go. You also, there's like some really clear do's and don'ts. Like you can mention something like thank them for their work or something that meant a lot to you and why it meant a lot to you, and be, as long as you're very concise when you do it, but you don't ever try to like mention a detail about their personal life that you learned from an interview or a podcast to like prove that you know them better. But I see that a lot too.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, they're just the people who want to like get that validation from a celebrity, but they're just really, really bad at it.
Yeah.
I definitely deal with negging. I definitely deal with negging for sure. Mm-hmm. When men will, and like you said, because they're like, well, I didn't want to like compliment you, you know, or whatever. Right. I didn't want to like simp or whatever. So that's another term that people probably don't know, but I didn't want to like, you know, like you said, gush over you. So instead I'm going to do the opposite to like catch your attention, but really they just seem like assholes. And then I end up blocking them or I just completely roast them. And then they turn their account private because they're embarrassed. That's happened several times. Do not come for me. I do have claws and I'm very sweet and nice, but I'm a Gemini. So I have like both of those dual personalities. But anyways, yeah, it's so shitty. And then they'll be like, oh no, I'm a big fan. I just like wanted you to notice me. And it's like, that's gross. Like, just tell me that my work matters to you. Or I always say joke like you're on their side. You should always be on their side. Yeah. So you should never say something like you're not maybe my close friends. That's another thing too, is I think on social media, they might see all of us talking together because we know each other. And so we'll give each other a hard time about different like shows or projects or whatever. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to jump in and roast Dani and make fun of her for this thing. And it's like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
So like, this is my friend.
The game. Yeah. They want to jump the line and play the game. And that's, I understand that because they feel like they know you. They've seen you so many times. They followed you and they're like, basically we know each other, but they it's not registering that no, you are still a stranger and you just said something very cruel.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And I understand that the chop busting impulse, because you see famous people busting other famous people's chops and you bust chops with your friends and you just think like, I don't want to be like, I want to leapfrog over the part where I'm a fan and just become like a buddy. How do buddies talk to each other? Oh, it's this way. It's busting their chops. And you forget that this is a stranger.
It's earned. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one for me. I also think that it would be nice, and maybe this isn't even a small job, but it would be nice to have someone who would do a yearly social audit for you. And by that, I mean someone who follows you around for like 4 weeks or 3 weeks every year. And at the end of it, they're like, okay, I followed you. here are the things that you're doing that drive your friends or your coworkers crazy. Like, they don't like the way that you pay at restaurants. You're doing that badly. Like, they don't like that you're trying to split the bill and that you're trying to split it down to the cent. Or they're like, do you, what you think of as contributing to a conversation is actually you just trying to top the story they just told. You should work on that. Somebody who would just work on those things with you, because your friends won't tell you those things and they just continue to seethe about it over
time. Do you
time.
Think you could handle and that?
I think if it's an objective person, then absolutely. If it's your friend, it would be really, really devastating. But if it's somebody who's walking into the group who, like, they don't have a dog in that fight. I guess they do. It's you. But, like, they're doing it to better you. Then at the end, they could be like, here are the things that I noticed. Here's your yearly review. This is a weird thing that you do. This is kind of a not great thing. This is sort of selfish of you. And you could be like, oh, the same way in movies where there's somebody who always says, you know what your problem is? You're this, 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 and this. And you can be like, ah, good. That's very insightful. I'll work on those.
They have those at jobs. Like, I think it's called like a 360 interview or like audit or whatever. And so those are hard because they're anonymous. And so you get like, typically bosses will try to do that to like see how they can better support their team. And then it's like, it is hard to read. I haven't had to do it, but I've like listened to people talk about it before. That would be a lot. Oh, I was going to say, I have a friend. I would love to be able to say that to a friend of mine, because I have a friend who we're friends in the same way that I have a lot of friends out here. So I guess like I would say friend/acquaintance. But what I will say is he always has like a what about me type of complex to him. Like when someone gets something and it's like, well, I should have gotten that or I should have done this and blah, blah. And so he like hustles really hard and he hasn't gotten past a certain level. And I want to tell him so badly. He probably won't listen to this. But I want to tell him like, hey, I think it's because people don't like recommending you for things because you're not happy for them. You're not happy for people when they're doing like, yes, we all hustle. We all are hustling. We're all out here, but you have to root for other people or else they can tell. Like, I remember when I got this job on the CW, last year. This year I hosted the Critics' Choice Super Awards for them. And last year I got that job because last year I was on a panel for their like CW show, their like DC shows. And so I announced it and I was the only one. Like, other than that, it was the showrunners and the actors. So I was like the only non, like, you know, they brought me on as like an expert to talk about it. And he tweeted and he said something like, I should have been asked to do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was very clear he found out about it from me. And also, like, the only other person was, like, Kevin Smith or, like, Grant Gustin, who's on. Like, I was just like, whose role would you have taken? Like, whose spot would you have taken? You're saying my spot. Right. And so it was just like, and I know people are like, that's not a friend. And weirdly, that is, and I'm sure we've all dealt with that. That's like how a lot of people are in the industry. But, like, he just does it so openly that... But he'll always write me like, man, I'm trying so hard. And I just want to tell him. And I did kind of tell him the other day. I'm like, you know, you got to make sure that you're like also supporting people and sharing their work. And like, you know, but I just, yeah. So anyways, Soren, you can do that. I will pay you and you will tell him,
I'd love to.
Hey man, the reason why you're not succeeding is because everyone thinks you're an asshole.
I'm going to sit down with a folder across from a desk from him and be like, thank you for coming to this.
Everyone has noticed that you always say you should have gotten the job and not them. And so nobody wants to work with you.
I know it's not the case, but I would love it if this is the same unnamed associate who's like a top level exec at Disney. Just like one person... Just like big chip on their shoulder, loves giant asses, always tweeting, why not me? I want that to be the same person.
Wants a big dumper.
I'm pretty sure
why
that
can't
person's
I get
like,
all the big dumpers.
Yes. I was gonna say I'm pretty sure that top exec's like a multimillionaire, so I don't think he cares.
Does his name rhyme with geyser?
No. But anyways, there's a lot of people like that. And I'm just like, you have to be I don't know. I personally think, especially being a woman of color, like you can't be unlikable. Like people have to root for you. You have to be nice and rooting for people and pulling people up to be successful. Word travels so quickly in this industry. So if you're
not easy to work with. I think the thing that really brought this to my attention or like made me want it was my current job that I work in a writer's room. And like that chemistry is so important.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of shit talk that happens in writer's rooms.
That's true.
all the time. And so you want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward at every single turn. And when you're not and you don't realize it, it's complete blindside and it's terrifying. And so if you just had somebody who would come in and be like, oh no, this is where you're fucking up. Like, this is the thing that you're doing wrong. You could be like, oh, great. Yeah. That's great. I will work on
See, I feel like if someone had done a social audit of me and came to me with that information and was just like, hey, just so you know, your friends think XYZ of you. They contrary to what you might think, they don't think it's great that you're always on. They think sometimes there shouldn't be bits at all. I'd be like, this is a great note. Right. I'm going to move. Because it's like, that's socially so devastating and embarrassing to me because I am like so, this is going to sound contradictory. I'm so comfortable with all of the flaws that make me up as a person that like, no, I know my weird and annoying and shitty tics. I know them enough that I can live with myself. But if my friends had gotten together and they were like, yeah, this is the thing that, you know, if you did this like 2% less, you would be 50% more enjoyable to be around. And I'd be like, nope. Gotta leave the situation forever now. It's too heartbreaking. I thought, nope, that'll sound too sad.
Do it.
I thought the deal was we all love the horrible things about me and about
yeah
I mean, you certainly, there are certain things that you're never gonna outgrow, like that they're just part of you, and it's you're too old to change these certain aspects that you've come to terms with and you're fine with. And I think you would get some of those and you'd be like, yeah, they've learned to like that about me too. They wouldn't have gotten to know me and been my friend if those things did really bothered them. But there will be, I can't imagine there wouldn't be a few that you would just be completely blindsided by where you'd be like, oh shit, I do that. Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. If it was a surprising thing, then I would probably be okay with it. Like some tick that I wasn't aware of. But like the only specific example I could think of is when my friends and I get together, we play board games a lot. And I'm very insistent on following the rules because they're important to me. And I think everyone likes the game more if we follow the rules. Trust me. Like if we don't have I'm not going to get into this now because my friends listen to this show and we'll have this fight in person later. But like that, my insistence on adhering to the rules and like teaching everyone the rules and calling people out when they don't follow the rules, and then them getting annoyed with me, that to me is part of the whole dance. Like I like telling the rules. I assume you like yelling at me for doing that. But if I found out you didn't like yelling at me and you would have a better time if I just shut up about the rules, that would be surprising information to me.
Yeah.
I thought this was like a playful battle.
I play my part, you play your part. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have some, Dan? Do you have one?
I have one, but I'm now so like in my head about about all the social things that I do wrong. The only thing that the small service that I feel like needs to exist is I go down to the rabbit hole of impressions on YouTube because I'm just like deeply obsessed with impressions and I like to see them done really well, and there are so many people who are so good at them. But one of the things that really drives me bananas is the writing in someone's impressions reel being very bad.
The dialogue they choose to
It's I understand that like a lot of these people are trying to get voice work, or they're trying to get work on Saturday Night Live, where you can say like the thing I'm bringing to the table is my impressions. You don't necessarily need to be a good writer because like that these are completely different skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that intellectually, obviously, but at the same time, when you're putting your impression reel on YouTube, it still lives as one piece of content. And if I'm a person who is casting SNL or any show that requires people who have a lot of impressions, I still need to sit through this as a piece of content, and I can't really, and it's harder for me to like divorce that, because if the writing is bad in this impression reel, then I'm going to have a bad time watching it. And so I feel like if you are really good at impressions, I'm positive one of your friends is a sketch comedy writer. I'm just positive. Reach out to them and have them write a conversation between Owen Wilson and Christopher Walken, and it'll be better. Because there are so many great impressionists with unwatchable YouTube reels because writing isn't their strength, which doesn't make them a bad person, obviously. Right. But it's still like, I have a better time watching. I actually found someone who was great at this. This guy, Ryan Goldshire, who is a great impressionist, but also has a game with each impression that he does. And there's like a title card. Like he has one that is, this is an impression of Will Ferrell touching a hot bowl of guacamole. And like immediately better than just someone who is just trying to riff as Will Ferrell right in front of me. Right. Everyone be like, I already forgot his name. This is bad news. Ryan. Everyone be like Ryan Goldshire.
Oh my gosh.
I like that a lot. I think that would be a real service.
Sing all of yours, like that guy who did Adele's Hello, but it was like the cast of Family Guy or something. Like just pick a song. Do you remember that? He did like all of these different, it like went viral. But
Rob Cantor?
Maybe. The person I know is Brock Baker. In fact, mm-hmm. he has really great impressions. If you've ever heard like a goofy impression, because they get stolen a lot and used on TikTok, but he does a really great goofy. And I actually hit him up because he could do Mickey, and I asked him to wish my nephew happy birthday, and he did as Mickey and Goofy.
Oh, boy.
So that comes in handy as opposed to tracking down the actual voice actor and spending thousands of dollars. Sure. You could just ask Brock Baker. So he'll never know that Mickey didn't wish him.
Right. Yeah. Well, someday he will.
Right.
It'd be a problem.
He'll probably tell his, he'll be like, my aunt she's a Disney character and she got the voice of Mickey to it. I'm like, yep, that's 100% correct.
I could just see him at the preschool telling the other kids, like, she's friends with, well, not friends, LA friends. So like they're acquaintances. They're acquaintances.
It's true.
Well, I think we're just about getting close to wrapping this up. As usual, we didn't really accomplish, I don't think, anything on this show.
Perfect.
Great.
Another perfect episode.
I need a second to track down our social accounts to promote this. I don't have them in front of me. So, Danny, if you could fill some time while I track these down, that would
sure.
be really great
I
for
can
me.
Totally I'll do that.
Yeah. I can.
I was
set
gonna say.
No, I got it for you. while I look for these social accounts, I wanted to give you a chance to elaborate on a tweet of yours. You have so many great tweets. I've said this 1,000 times. What a great follow you are for me and for a lot of people. There's so much encouragement on there. There's so much career advice, like unfiltered career advice that people don't usually get. People should really be paying more for that kind of advice. And you're so thoughtful, you're so caring, you're so kind, you're so funny. And I just wanted to use this platform to give you some space to talk about this tweet of yours. I feel weird wanting to ride a dead robot's dick. Frowny face. Not weird enough to not look at fan art, but still, RIP.
That, you know, I mean, technically that could mean a lot of different things.
I don't know.
But and it was funny. Some of the people replied like, what? And I would be like, you clearly didn't watch WandaVision. My God. Everyone knows we're talking about WandaVision today. Okay, everyone. But yeah, I mean, everybody was tweeting about him. I mean, they even had him in like, Paul is like in a tight like turtleneck and there were all these memes. But I felt bad. I was like, should I be thinking of this in this moment? It's, you know, the show deals with trauma. But also a little horny. So one time I came up with this term in this group chat. I'm such a nerd. I created a group chat for Dragon Ball Z that my friends are, it's called the senzu bean as opposed to the coffee bean. And we all meet in there. I'm not kidding. Every single day, there's a bunch of writers. Ify Wadiwe, who is also a comedy writer, is in there with me, along with a bunch. Yidoye Travis, who's a comedian, is in there.
Ify, by the way, horniest person on the internet by miles and miles.
Yeah, he's openly, I have to rank, I would say I trap a lot. I do a lot of thirst traps and I definitely send out horny things. Oh, I was going to say, I came up with this term in there where I meant to write horrified. Like they sent some like wild ass fan art that was of anime characters doing things that I can't describe. And so I meant to say horrified, but I said hornified. Yeah. And now hornified. So that's the new, when you see something, you're terrified and you're sexually aroused.
I refer to that as a fear-ection.
There you go. A fear-ection. but who doesn't? A ghost dick, a ghost robot dick. I mean, unattached. So,
you can ask Danny for follow-up information on that robot ghost dick at twitter.com/MissDannyFernandez, or you can go to her website, DannyFernandez.com. You can follow Soren at Soren_LTD or me at DOB_INC. You can email the show at QQWithSoren and Daniel@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/QQ_Soren and Dan. You can hire and befriend our wonderful producer, engineer, editor, great guy, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. We also have a Patreon. There are perks now, I guess, if you give us money. I still think you should give that money to charity.
We do bonus episodes.
Yeah, but like, bonus episodes aren't going to get you into heaven, you know? Danny, do you have anything to plug while we...
I think that's it. Okay. Also, my website, I think, Danny M. Fernandez.
That's right.
There's another... It's okay. The other Danny, there's so many of them. I just have to kill them all.
Yeah.
And so I can be the one.
That's right.
So
your situation.
Yeah. There's several out there, and I'm coming. Don't worry. I'm just kidding, please. If one of them ends up dead, I'll be so disappointed. They'll come for me immediately. They'll come for me. Like she said, she wanted to be the only Danny Fernandez.
Yeah. You're in a tight spot because we ran the numbers and our demographic, we are huge with snitches. It's most of our audience.
Damn.
They just, like, these
some of them have blocked
figures.
Me. To be honest, I remember I tweeted at one and I was like, can I buy your handle, please? And he blocked me. And then I asked my followers, I was like, oh no, tell them for money, for like real money. And so they tweeted a bunch of my followers like, hey, she was going to buy it. And they like, he like blocked all of them. So anyways, leave at Danny Fernandez alone. That is not me. And he hates me. So I am at Ms. MS Danny Fernandez. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you. Bye.
Bye.